Okay? Thanks. Here, let's pray. Lord, thanks for loving us so much that you would send your son to this dirty, nasty planet, Lord, to set us free so that we can live. Not only enjoy heaven forever with you, but live in this life, the abundant life. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit at work in this place, Lord, drawing us to you. Lord, help us to hear your heart through this little study today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked a little bit about the fact that the very first Christmas was the culmination of what I would like to call the God's going to do it anyway plan. Remember? That God decided he was going to do something. He has the freedom to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And the beauty of Christianity isn't that it's about just a specific subject or one story or even a particular book in the Bible. But it's a story arc. It's the whole picture of God's love that ultimately ends with our redemption. It's God's going to do it anyway story because God loves us so much that he wants to spend forever with us. Even though our rebellion and our sin requires his son to be sacrificed. So today we pick things up. Luke, if you have your Bible, there's some Bibles in the back. Put up your hand if you want. Eli's sitting back there, and I think that's Berkeley. If you put your hand up, follow along. Don't take my word for anything. We're in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. So we did the beginning part last week, and I think we'll just keep going. Christmas Eve, we'll just keep going. And even a week from today, we'll keep going a little bit farther into Luke. So here, let's read chapter 1 of Luke, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and after having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." 37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now it's interesting, all over the world today, in countries that we've never even heard of, small little villages, huge cities, people know this girl's name. A peasant girl from nowhere. A peasant girl who lived in the time when Judea was the armpit of the Roman Empire. It's remarkable when you think about it, that all throughout this world, people know her name. And yet Mary could have said no. She could have said to God, "You know, I have better things to do than bear a child. Or maybe someone else is better suited to carry the child than me." She could have said no. Maybe she should have said no. I mean, she's really young. She's 14, maybe 15. A little more than a child from our perspective. Many girls would have said no. Think of the repercussions. There would have been a broken engagement. She was engaged to a really good guy who was a lover of God. What would he think when she tells him that she's having a baby that isn't his? Most guys would have wigged out. There's also been a blackened reputation. Gossip would have spread throughout that area like wildfire. In that day, for a woman to become pregnant outside of marriage was a scandal of huge proportions. So not only a broken engagement and a blackened reputation, but there may probably have been a battered body, because back in those days, an adulteress would have been stoned to death with rocks. So here's this girl. She could have said no. She maybe should have said no. Most would have said no. All of heaven must have paused at this point in time, in about wherever it happens in chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, when the angel's talking to her, waiting for her response. Because God would not force Mary to take her child, this child. God won't force any of us to take his child. Thankfully, Mary said yes. You know, it's interesting to note, all throughout history, God would approach people and they wouldn't say yes immediately. Great men, spiritual men, famous men didn't say yes right away. Think about Moses. Remember Moses? When God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Remember what Moses said? He said, I'm not eloquent. I can't talk like that. He didn't say, like Mary said here, let it be to me according to your will. Think about Jeremiah. What a great man of God Jeremiah was. And yet in Jeremiah chapter 1, when God told him he was going to speak to the nations, 30-year-old Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I am but a youth. And then think about Jonah. When God called Jonah, remember what Jonah said? Thanks for the opportunity, but I'm out of here. And he bolted and ran. So Moses says, I'm slow of speech. Jeremiah says, I'm too young. And Jonah became a track athlete and ran away as fast as he could go. You know, good old Jonah, right? So many, many Old Testament saints hesitated to the invitation to be used by God. And yet here, we see this little teenage girl with a wonderful response at the end of what I read today. Let it be to me according to your word. Let the repercussions of this be what they must be. A blackened reputation, a broken engagement, even a battered body. If that's what it takes to walk in the will of God, she says right here, I'm in. Isn't that fascinating? Notice in 28, the angel comes to her and says, rejoice, highly favored one. The word highly favored, or the phrase, is one weird word in the Greek. It means to be an object of God's grace. Rejoice, you who God randomly chose, not because anything you've done or even promised to do, just like we saw last week when God chose Abraham, God chose Zacharias. Here, God randomly chooses Mary. And because God has chosen you, Mary, you're an object of God's grace. The Lord is with you, he says there. The Lord is with you. He's with you in this unimportant village, in this unimportant house, in this unimportant time, in this unimportant region of the world, one that is inhabited by Hebrews who knew God had a plan for their redemption. He had promised them a king, but now they're under the bondage of the Romans. And in their mind, they feel like God has abandoned us. Surely God's never going to be active in the world again. These are dark, dark times for us. But if you remember from last week, there's a really cool verse in Galatians. It says, at the appointed time, God sent his son. God shows up to fulfill his promise. And he's going to do it anyway. Right? So 29 is a response. When she sees him, of course, she's troubled, you think, at his saying, consider, well, what do I say to this thing, dude, creature? 30, and the angel says, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor. Excuse me. You found favor with God. If she had stopped the angel right there and said, why me? the angel would have probably said, you know, it really isn't about you. Just like it wasn't really about Abraham. Just like it wasn't really about Zacharias. Or any other characters in this incredible story. This is about God fulfilling his promise to the human race. I will send a redeemer to save you. That's what God's doing. This is all about God. And then the news comes that she'll probably never would have been able to comprehend is in 31. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. He'll be great, called the Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne. His reign will be forever and ever. She knew this was a promise that her son would be the Messiah. Make no mistake, she knew it when she heard this. I am going to give birth to the promised Messiah. But she did have questions. You see the question 34? She says to the angel, how can this be since I don't know man? This isn't a question of unbelief. This is the how of curiosity, the how of intrigue. And the angel responds by saying, I know you want to know the technicality of all this, but in reality, it's just a mystery. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and will overshadow you. And going to do something miraculous inside of you. It's an incredible mystery is what this angel's saying to her. You know, if Mary had been filled with reason at this point in time, there'd have been no room for the Christ child. Mary didn't understand all the particulars, but in a magnificent way, notice at the end of what I read today, and you see her response, 38, let it be to me according to your word. Now, back in 36 and 37, in essence, Gabriel tells Mary that God's going to do the supernatural. Notice, let me read 36 and 37 again, because 37 is really key. 36 says, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who is called barren, for with God, nothing will be impossible. So here's what the angel's saying. God operates in the supernatural. Whether conception occurs in a dead womb or conception occurs without a human father, those are not obstacles to God. Remember, old Liz is 6 months pregnant at this point in time and is in the talk of the town throughout the whole region, you know? I hope that when you read 37, you believe it with all your heart. For with God, nothing will be impossible. What's impossible in your eyes this morning? Salvation of a loved one? Return of a prodigal child? Some health thing that's going on in your life? Financial issues that you're dealing with? What looks totally impossible in our eyes is possible with God. I love the fact that we serve a God who operates in the supernatural. Aren't you? He's not constrained to the physical like I am. It's really, really important that we look at things as they unfold in our life through the eyes of the spiritual, not through the eyes of the physical. Now, the last verse I've read a couple times, 38, her response. The word maidservant, mine uses, I'm a New King James. The maidservant there is a feminine form of doulos. It's the lowest feminine slave in the house. So what she says here, I think, is how we're supposed to live in faith with God. Let it be to me according to your will. Because she gives a wonderful, wonderful, perfect response. It wasn't based on her understanding of how all these events are going to play out, but based on her confidence in who was behind the promise. Did you hear that? Because I want to know the details. Okay, Lord, I heard you say, but I don't understand it all. Now, spell it out for me. I need to know A through Z. Mary, God bless you. Mary didn't need all that. You know why? Her confidence was in the who behind the promise. Think about that for a little bit today. Our confidence is in Christ, to fulfill his work in our hearts. That's what allowed her here and us to surrender fully to the Lord and his word. There's a wonderful simplicity to Mary's faith here, isn't there? And it allowed her to leave the details to God. Boy, I pray that we'd all have faith like that. Okay? So at Christmas time, we're reminded God's going to do it anyway. But it's the why behind the what that makes the story so compelling. And the Apostle John, he captured it perfectly when he recounted Jesus' talk with Nicodemus. This highly educated man who has all these questions, trying to get his mind around who this Jesus guy is. And if you want to know why God decided to do it anyway, if you wanted to know why God decides to pick and choose imperfect people randomly still today to piece together this epic narrative that all ultimately results in the salvation of mankind, if you want to know why, here's why. For God so loved the world that he gave at Christmas his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the why. And at Christmas, we're reminded, God's going to do it anyway. And it's all because he loves you anyway. He loves you when you don't behave. He loves you until you behave. He loves you even after, if you never behave. That's wild to think about. He loves you when you don't believe. He loves you until you do believe. And you know, again, it's wild. He loves you if you never, ever believe. But he desperately wants to spend eternity with you. And that's why he's wooing you to believe and to put your faith in him for the forgiveness of your sins. Last thing, okay? Notice back in verse 28, the word high, or the phrase highly favored. It was one word in the Greek. Here's the word in the Greek. Kerataho, okay? Kerataho. It means much prized, greatly graced, a thing of beauty, highly favored. Kerataho. And it's easy to see here why Mary was greatly graced. She's willing to risk everything. Her love life, her future, her reputation, her physical well-being, in order to be obedient to the Lord. And that word, kerataho, is used for Mary here. And do you realize that it's only used one other time in the Bible, once for one other person in the entire Bible? Kerataho, one. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. You know who that other person is that word kerataho is used for? Greatly graced, much loved? You. You. We who are Christians are kerataho, much prized. Only two people get this designation in the Bible. Mary and you. Now you might think, well, why am I so special that I would be called kerataho? What did I do? Yeah, I can understand Mary, but me? Well, that's a good question to ask. Remember John chapter 6, I think it is. Remember John chapter 6. They come to Jesus, and they say to him, what must we do to do the works of God? In other words, how can we be highly favored? How can we find grace in your sight? How can we be right with you? What are the works we need to do? Tell us what the things are, God. Make a list for us. Jesus replies in John chapter 6. This is the work, singular. One thing, that you believe on him who the Father has sent. See, Christian, you have done exactly what Mary did when she on this day said, I believe and I receive. I don't understand all the technicalities. I'm not sure where it's going to take me in life, but I believe. Let it be to me according to your word. Well, you say, I didn't really do anything. Well, that's the glory of it all. That's good news of the gospel. That's the reason we celebrate the season. God made himself known to us individually, and we have simply said as Christian people, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Have your way. That's why we're Carrot Tahoe. You know, there's a kingdom coming, and there's a king of that kingdom. And Christian, the Christ that was in Mary's womb is in your heart. And he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And of that kingdom, there will be no end. Hallelujah, right? But for those of us who sit here and realize I've never acknowledged my need for Jesus and I'm not part of that kingdom of God, well, the way to enter into that kingdom is to simply believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, willingly paid the price for your sin on Calvary's cross. He died there, they buried him, and he rose from the grave. Can he make it any more simple than that? Yes, Lord, I believe. My sin has separated me from you. I accept the free gift of eternal life. I want to be your kid, Lord. I want to follow you. And for those of us who've said yes to God, we are now and will always be Carrot Tahoe, highly prized, because we did the one thing, the only thing that's absolutely necessary. This is the work of God, to believe on him who has been sent. We said yes to God. Ready or not, believe it or not, God sent his son into this world for me, for you. And God desires to spend eternity with you. Today's a great day to put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Accept the free gift of eternal life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for loving us the way you do. I pray, Lord, that in this season, we would continue to open our eyes to the reality of how this amazing story intersects with our lives. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Give us courage to follow Jesus of Nazareth. And it's in his matchless name we pray. Amen.